Welcome to the Every Nation Taipei podcast. We're here to help you know God, discover your purpose, grow in your relationships, and make a difference in Taipei, Taiwan, and beyond. We hope this message encourages you today.
It is, I just don't know what to do because it's been so long since I preached here. How many weeks has it been? It's been a while. I missed you all. I hope you don't have any lunch plans because I haven't preached for a while, and so I just got a lot to say. some of the new folks are like, I don't know. And we want to thank all the new folks for coming. Every Sunday that we're here, the new people are in church, and we love that. So for those of you who are here for the very first time, we want to thank you for keeping the streak alive. We just love what God is doing and how God is bringing people, how God is turning people's hearts to God. We had several people just this past week give their hearts to Jesus, and that is always the most exciting. Yeah, let's give God a hand for that. That's the most awesome thing. We love... Heaven celebrates, not when we sing an amazing worship service and like nail a song. Heaven doesn't go, wow, they nailed that song. Let's celebrate. But when someone gives their heart to Jesus, that's when heaven celebrates. And so that's worth us celebrating. Amen. Every time. And that's a heart, is just to bring people to Jesus, to know Him, bring people to Him. Because that's what we're created for. And so our goal as a church is just to help people become who God created them to be, which is His sons and daughters, walking in His purposes, knowing their Heavenly Father, because you will never experience life as it was intended without that. You'll always have parts that feel like they're missing, things, parts that feel like they're not working right, because you were never intended to live separate from God. You're intended to live with God. And actually, we're in this series called The Heart of a Champion. I feel like there's just so much more that God has for us in transitioning or changing our hearts to be the hearts that He created us for. And so today we're going to look at the life of a guy named Joshua. Actually, Pastor Mark. Can we call you Pastor Mark? Pastor Mark, the guy who just hosted, he preached on this a couple of weeks ago, did an amazing job, and I'm just going to preach around what he preached. But before we jump into the Word, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we are so thankful for Your Word. What a gift. It feeds us, sharpens us, shows us how to live, reveals You to us, and honestly, it reveals ourselves. Father, I pray that today as we look into Your Word, that, Lord, Your Holy Spirit would speak to each and every one of us, and that these few moments that we spend together would be more than just great information or even inspiration, but truly, Lord God, as we hear Your voice speaking to us, our lives would be transformed. That, Lord God, You would be lifted up and You would be seen in and through our lives and through this church. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, we're going through this series called Heart of a Champion. And here's the thing about champions. We're going to talk today about how champions, they believe. They have this ability just to trust God. Champions believe, and champions are different. Everybody wants to win. But not everybody does. All of us want to be champions. We want to win in life. Nobody comes into life saying, the thing I aspire to is just to be a loser in my life. I hope that someday I'll be mediocre. What we all want to be is winners in life. We aspire to triumph. We aspire to conquer. We aspire to succeed in life. But the fact is, not everybody does, because there's things that set champions apart from everybody else. But that's actually always been God's intention for you, is that you would be a person who walks in victory, that you would be a person who experiences victory in this life. You know, a year after I met my amazing wife, all of my calendar goes around meeting my wife, my life, before Terry, after Terry. But anyway, 2007, the year after I met my wife, I was living in New York City, and so we were our church. One of our pastors was the chaplain for the New York Jets, and so we were all, you know, we could cheer for any team, but we all had to be Jets fans. But this year, as in most years, the Jets didn't have a very good team. But there was another team in New York whose names we don't often speak, but since I'm out of New York, we will. They're called the Giants. And that year, the Giants won the Super Bowl. Unexpectedly. It was history-making. They were the wild card entry into the playoffs, which means that they were like the last guys to make it to the playoffs, the most unexpected, just barely making it in, didn't really deserve to be there, but they got a wild card to get in. All right, so those were the Giants. And they closed the season, they kept winning in the playoffs unexpectedly, and then they got to the Super Bowl, which is like the biggest thing in American football, unlike football for the rest of the world, which is the World Cup. So we're America, the Super Bowl, they're playing. And they're playing against the Patriots. And if you're a Jets fans, you boo whenever you hear this Patriots. Boo, we don't like the Patriots. And Tom Brady was their quarterback. And they were undefeated that year, which is just incredible. Almost never happens in American football that a professional team goes undefeated the whole season. And so they are fully expected. In fact, the last game of the season, they beat the Giants. And so they fully expected that would be how the game would end. And the Patriots were going to end the season undefeated and beat these upstart Giants. And lo and behold, the Giants won. And the Giants, it's interesting because that year, the cover for Sports Illustrated, one of the big sports magazines in the States, is the Giants, a season to believe. Because that was their tagline throughout the season, to believe. And so you could buy Giants Christmas ornaments with the word believe on it. You could put up signs in your yard, people would put up signs for politicians. You could put believe Giants, you could purchase all these things. So all around New York, you would see these giant signs, and it was their slogan was believe. And the reason why they said you gotta believe is because if you just watch them play, you think they're not that great. You look at their team and you think, not much there. So, but in spite of the way that they look, you gotta believe. And that's really the only time that you gotta believe is when it looks like your team is bad. Like your team looks like losers. Then you gotta believe that they can be winners. And so if you've ever felt like a loser in life, this message is for you. Champions learn to believe, even though they feel and sometimes act like losers. There is a path to becoming a winner. And the Giants found that path. It was to believe. In spite of the circumstances, in spite of their own shortcomings, they believed. And they won the Super Bowl. So we're going to believe. We're fans of this TV show, Ted Lasso, which is about real football. In America, we call it soccer. But his team, right, his team in their locker room, they had this sign up above the doorway headed out, and it was just simply believe. And before every game, they had to go and touch that sign. And he was trying to get them to believe because they were like the last place team. They were always losing. And so, but how he got them to turn around, but just saying, you got to believe. You got to believe that you can do this. It starts with that belief. And the thing is, that's actually a biblical principle. The Bible says without faith, it's impossible to please God. You can never become who God intended for you to be without the ability to believe. And so God calls us into this place to believe, to be different, to be unlike what people expect us to be, to do so much more than the sum of our abilities. That's what God does in our lives. And so today we're going to look at a couple of guys who were just different. They were champions because they were different from everybody else. And we're going to look at the belief in their hearts and how that set them apart. We're going to look at Joshua and Caleb. Numbers chapter 14, verse 30. You will not enter and occupy the land. He's talking to the whole nation of Israel. And he's saying, you'll not enter and occupy the land I swore to give you. The only exceptions will be Caleb, son of Jephunneh, and Joshua, son of Nun. So brief history, if you don't know the story of Joshua and Caleb in the Bible, it's a great one to read. It's kind of really exciting and fun. There's a whole book named after it, Joshua, book named after him, and it tells the whole story of how they got into the promised land. But the book earlier in the Bible, the book of Numbers, talks about how the children of Israel, God promised them to go into the promised land. But for the whole nation, except for two, they all died in the wilderness and didn't make it in because they did not believe. But despite the fact that everybody else in the nation of Israel died in the wilderness in disbelief of God's promise, Joshua and Caleb were different. They rose above. They became champions. They laid hold of the promise that God had for them. So, question comes to us, how did Joshua and Caleb believe when others didn't? Numbers chapter 14, verse 30 says, but my servant Caleb, because he has a different spirit and has followed me fully, I will bring him into the land into which he went, and his descendants shall possess it. So it's interesting here. We're just going to kind of break this scripture down. What does this mean? My servant Caleb, because he has a different spirit. So his attitude, something inside of him, when that word spirit there, it's not the capital S spirit of God, but it's talking about his attitude, his human spirit. He had a different human spirit. He had a different attitude than everybody else. And so what is that attitude that Caleb had that brought him into victory? You and I, if we can grab a hold of that attitude, we'll begin to see triumph in our own lives. And then it says, he's followed me fully. And that's another key. Fully following God. Going all in with Jesus. I love that this week we had these guys who just said, you know, I want to go all in with Jesus. And many of us have had that day when we said, I'm going all in with Jesus. And yet if you're like me, so often in the journey, I find myself, my heart's not always all in with Jesus. There's times when I struggle, when other things are bigger than God, bigger than Jesus in my life, when other things sway my attitude. And so today we want to look at what are some of the principles that help us to be fully following Jesus. And it says, I'll bring you into the land into which he went. His descendants shall possess it. And what is God saying here? The Bible is saying that we often start into certain promises. We experience a little bit of God's blessing in our lives. We experience a little bit of Christianity and what it means to walk in relationship with God. But when we fully follow God, there's some keys that unlock fully entering into the life God intends for you. Most of us live parts of the Christian life, and we experience what it's like to partially walk with God. But today we want to, how do I grab a hold of the fullness of the Christian life, the way that Joshua and Caleb did, that allowed them to be champions on a level that almost the whole nation of Israel missed out on? So these are the principles that we'll look at today, so that we possess it, not only for us, but the goal is that we leave a legacy of walking with God. That not only do we walk with God, but we walk with God in such a way that it starts to spill over into others. And it brings others into walking with God. Because there are so many people who've never discovered their Heavenly Father. There's so many people who walk through this life as orphans, thinking they got to make it on their own. And they never experience life the way that God intended for them. The kind of freedom, the kind of joy, the kind of peace and hope that only comes in walking with your Heavenly Father, living out the life that God created you for. And you and I who know Jesus, We can't look at those who don't know Jesus and say, why do they live such messed up lives? Why do they believe such messed up things? Why can't they get their act together? It's really because of us. Honestly, it's because we can't get our act together. It's because we hold back and don't give ourselves fully to the God that we know. And we of all people who know something of God and have tasted some of it, we should of all people be able to fully jump in and follow God. And drink in so much of this, the relationship with God, that it spills over. And we not only follow God ourselves, but we bring others along with us. Our descendants after us. So that's what we're looking for today. Are we okay with that? Ready? Something in there that you might take away, we hope, you know? Or you're just waiting for lunch. All right, here we go. So talking today about champions believe. They have this thing called faith. And here's what faith is. Faith is an attitude of trust demonstrated in action. Faith is it's an attitude, it's a spirit. It's a spirit that Joshua and Caleb had. It's an attitude of trust. It's a perspective on life and a value system based on saying, I'm going to trust God in every situation. I'm going to trust God. And not only just that attitude of trust, but it begins to be demonstrated in our actions. That's what faith is. It's a trust in God. And honestly, faith is a decision. It's a decision you and I make. No one else can make it for us. But praise God that He's given us the power of choice, that we can choose who we want to trust. We can choose who we're going to give our lives to, what we're going to give it over to. The best advice is to give it over, to trust your life to the God who loves you more than you love yourself, who knows you better than you know yourself, who knows your past, and He holds your future, and He walks with you in the present. This God who has the power and all wisdom, there's nobody better to trust than Him. And this is the key to belief. And for every one of us, there's this process of faith or this process of belief that we all walk through time and time again. And it's this thing of past, problem, promise. God gives us all these promises in life. Every child born is actually just full of promise from God. God has promises, God has purposes and plans for each and every one of us from the moment we're born. In fact, the Bible says from before you were born, God's got promises and purpose for you. But there's a process to laying hold of those promises. And like in Joshua and Caleb's case, the whole nation of Israel missed out on the promise, just the two of them. And it's so easy to miss out on the promises of God because we don't recognize that in our lives, our past can be great, but at some point we have to leave the past behind. Our lives are constantly going to be in a state of transition and change when we're following God. So there's good things in your past. There's experiences you trust, but some that you're going to have to just leave behind. And then there's problems. There's always problems. This is the promise of Jesus. In this life, you will have trouble. Praise God. I'm waiting for the church that has that as their scripture. You know, Jesus' promise. In this life, you will have tribulation. Yes. That's our next t-shirt. But you're all going to face problems because problems are how we lay hold of the promise. Problems are what grow us up. And problems are what strengthen us to be able to enter into and take a hold of the promise. Problems are how we get to know ourselves and get to know God so that we can walk into the promises that God gives us. You like problems? How many got problems? Anybody got a problem? All God's people got problems. But here's the deal. So just take a moment. This is a good moment. And think about your problems. This is like the downer time of the sermon. Here's what my frustration is. Here's a person who bugs me and irritates me at work.
here's a guy in my family I can't stand. Here's the problems I'm having with my wife or my kids or my husband or my parents. It's a good time just to think about your problems, because the problems are real, but they're there for a purpose. Because the point of the promise and the point of walking with God, and when we most need God and most need to be able to see God and obey Him, is when we're in the midst of the problem. It's honestly when you are facing problems and irritations that you can't seem to get over. The things that really bother you that you can't seem to get victory over. The attitudes, the offenses, the bitterness, the fears, the insecurities, the addictions that keep drawing you back and knocking you down. Those are the moments when you actually need to learn to see God. And this is what we're going to learn, because Joshua and Caleb, what set them apart was not the journey through the wilderness. It wasn't eating all the manna, the way they ate manna. It was what set them apart was that when they were faced with the insurmountable problems, things that everybody else said, this is going to kill us. This is going to prevent us from ever claiming our promise. They have these huge giants in the promised land. We will never be able to defeat them. The wall, the cities in there have these huge walls, and we will never be able to knock those walls down. And in all of our lives, we face giants and we face walled cities. Stuff that we say, there's no way. There's no way I can get through that to who I think God wants me to be. But it's when we've hit the giants and we face the walls, that's when we need to be able to see God. That's when we need to be able to rise up and take a hold of the promise and trust God. See, that's where the belief comes in. When you face the fight of your life, when the doctor tells you you have cancer, when your boss says you're fired, when you look at your bank accounts and they're all just in the red, when you have that fight once again with your kids or your spouse or your coworker or your boss, and you're just like, this is just the same thing every day. I just feel like the dog being kicked every day. Every moment it's a fight. And just think, there's no escape from this cycle. Those are the moments when you have to believe. And how do we do that? How do we believe God in those moments? Because that's the only way you're going to get a hold of the promises and find the life that God created you for. That's kind of a bummer, because that means you're going to have giants in your life. Turn to your neighbor and just tell them in your most convincing voice, you're going to have giants in your life. It's good. You guys preach so much better than I do. You know, I'm preaching and everybody's just like, and then you guys start preaching to each other and everybody smiles and start laughing. It's good. Yes. I got to practice my preaching. All right. Anyway, here we go. See, here's what it was for Joshua. Joshua chapter 1. Verses 1 through 3. It says, after the death of Moses, the Lord's servant, the Lord spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant. He said, Moses, my servant, is dead. Therefore, the time has come for you to lead these people, the Israelites, across the Jordan River into the land I'm giving them. I promise you what I promised Moses. Wherever you set foot, you will be on the land I have given you. Okay? So, what's the first thing here? The first thing that set Joshua apart was he trusted God's voice. When God spoke to him, he believed it. Most of us, we walk through life, and or maybe not most, but many of us walk through life and we don't even believe that God can speak or that we can hear God's voice. And so it starts there. You can hear God's voice. Jesus said, my sheep know my voice. And the voice of God is what created the world. And the voice of God is what will create his promises and his purposes in you. But you have to be able to hear his voice and trust his voice. And it starts by trusting that you can hear his voice. So if you're like me and have lived many years, even as a Christian, I was kind of like, yeah, theoretically I can hear God's voice. And I'm supposed to. And I think when I read the Bible, like I get good ideas. And I think that's also God's voice. But there's a place where God can speak right into your soul. The Bible says that God is a spirit and that you have a spirit. And spirit to spirit, God can communicate to you. Yes, God communicates through the world around us. Yes, God loves to communicate to us through the scriptures, through the Bible. And God loves to communicate to us through others. I'm hoping he's communicating to you through me. But the thing God really wants to do is spirit to spirit, have a relationship with you and talk to you. That's what you were created for. And Joshua, he heard the voice of God. And that's where it begins. You trust the voice of God. So I want to encourage you, if you don't trust the voice of God or don't know whether or not you can hear the voice of God, your best prayer every morning is to wake up and say, God, today I want to hear your voice. God, your promise is that your sheep hear your voice. They know your voice. The truth is we all can hear God's voice. Most of us just can't discern it. But you can know the voice of God. And actually, if you sit with a mature Christian, go back through your life, they can probably start to help you point out. Now, actually, here's some moments in your life when you heard God's voice. Because most of us, all of our lives, we're hearing God's voice, but God wants you to know his voice, all right? So trust God's voice. Second thing, trust God's promise. God said, I promise you what I promised Moses. Wherever you set foot, you will be in the land I have given you. Wherever you are, that's going to be your possession. And God said, you can trust my promises. We have a, there's a saying like in American basketball nowadays, trust the process. What you really need to do is trust the promise. Because the process is nothing without God's promises, because God's promises are what will always come true as we walk with him. But you have to trust the voice. Trust the promise. Thirdly, you got to trust God's presence. Verse 5, no one will be able to stand against you as long as you live, for I will be with you as I was with Moses. I will not fail you or abandon you. God's promise is that he will never leave you, never forsake you. In other words, physically, he'll always be there. But relationally, he'll also always be there. God won't leave you or forsake you. He'll not fail you or abandon you. God is going to be with you. God is with you right now. God will never leave you. This is a good moment to turn to your neighbor and just tell him, you know, God will never leave you. These are things that we just need to get into our spirit even when we don't believe them. Even when the circumstances around us seem like God's not there, his promise isn't real. Those are the moments when you gotta believe. That's where faith comes in, trust comes in to say, no, I trust God's promise. I trust God's voice. I trust God's presence. Last one, trust God's word. I trust God's word. And we're not going to go with that because Mark nailed it 2 weeks ago. Trusting God's word. That means you read it. If you trust God's word, you're going to get into it and read it. And you're going to start repeating it and speaking it. And you're going to start obeying it and doing it. Trust God's word. This is a pretty serious commitment. It's going to be hard to read that one, but that's okay. It's serious. Everybody's laughing at our serious commitment. There you go. From behind the curtain, the Wizard of Oz makes it all right. All right. It says, anyone who rebels against you, against your orders, and does not obey your words and everything you command will be put to death. So be strong and courageous. In other words, like God is really serious about this whole obedience thing and walking with God and knowing his word and trusting his promises. And we have to be serious. You don't win championships just by chance. There's sacrifice. There's commitment. There's laying down of some of your desires. There's pain involved. There's never been a championship team in any serious sport that's got there without some injuries and some pain along the way. So you got to be prepared. Being a Christian is a serious endeavor. There will be pain. Turn to your neighbor. It's another good one. There will be pain. This is what makes everybody want to be a Christian, you know? When we tell them, there will be trouble. Jesus promised. There will be pain. You're going to have to die. Like, oh, yes, I want to be a Christian. This is the stuff that, this is like the small print, right? When you come to this church, we want to tell you the small print right up front. But I can tell you it's going to be so worth it when you embrace God's promises. They're more than worth the trouble and the pain. Here's a couple of other things that Joshua did. He recognized God-ordained relationships over religious rules. Sometimes when we're Christians and we walk with God for a while, we start to just embody the principles and we miss the relationship. And then our relationship with God starts to turn into more like of a religious practice. And we start being more conscientious of the rules and how we should look rather than following in relationship. We start to miss the voice, and we let go of the promises, and we just hold on to the rules and the practices. And so Joshua, the Bible says, when Joshua sent 2 spies, he was smart. When Moses sent 12 spies, he only chose 2 good ones who knew God and trusted the promises, and 10 that were kind of believers. I believe some of it, you know, maybe, but there's parts of it I'm not sure. Because, I trust God to a certain extent, but then I'm smarter than God in a lot of areas. And so when God says, yeah, you can have the promised land, but I see big giants, in that case, I kind of trust me more than God. And a lot of us, we live our Christian life like that. I believe God in everything that I trust about him. But the areas where I'm not so sure, then I'd rather trust myself. Can I really love my enemies? Well, that's one of those promises that's kind of a maybe. Depends on how bad I hate my enemy. Can God heal? Well, it just kind of depends what the sickness is. And we start to, can God provide? Well, depends on how big my provision, how big the provision I need is. So we start to draw boxes around God. And so of the 12 spies that Moses sent in, 2 didn't draw boxes around God. They just said, we believe God's promise, period. And 10 didn't. They said, well, we'll evaluate. So this time around, Joshua said, I'm just going to send 2. Let's just send the 2 guys who have the Joshua Caleb spirit, who are going to say yes. And so he sent those 2 guys who had a relationship with God, who knew the voice of God and knew the promises of God. They went in. And of all things, when the trouble started to come, because trouble always does come, and they got found out that they were spying out the land, and the enemy soldiers were coming looking for them, they trusted a prostitute. No good Jewish boy is going to trust a prostitute. No good Christian guy should go run and hide in a prostitute's house. Of all the places, go next door, you know. But they trusted more the relationship with God. God led them to perhaps the one person in the whole city of Jericho who said, you know, I believe that you guys are from God. And I believe that you Jews are going to overcome and take over this city. And so I'm going to hide you. And God rarely uses who we think he should use. But if we don't know his voice and don't know how to follow his directions, we start choosing people all based on our own religious boxes instead of listening to his voice. Jesus loved to be around sinners. He got the religious guys so mad all the time because he kept doing what they said you shouldn't do. But it's what his Heavenly Father said he should do. And that's where the adventure begins. When we begin to hear God's voice and follow his leading. They obeyed when it doesn't make sense. Sorry. They obeyed when God doesn't make sense. But the Lord said to Joshua, I have given you Jericho, its kings, and all its strong warriors. And then he said, so go out there, march around the city 6 times. Don't say anything. Just play your trumpets and march around. And then the 7th day, march around 7 times. It's like, that doesn't sound like a very good battle strategy. It doesn't sound like it's accomplishing anything. And these walls are just as thick, you know, just as big after 6 times walking around them. God, when God doesn't make sense, can we obey? See, that's the key. Most of us, if you're like me, I would say, maybe that's not God. Maybe that's the devil. But Joshua and Caleb, they trusted the voice. They walked in obedience. They lived as champions. That's why God set them apart, my servant Caleb, because he has a different spirit and has followed me fully. I will bring him in. So how do we develop a spirit like Joshua and Caleb? Very simply. Number one, we serve. The Bible says Joshua, son of Nun, had been Moses' assistant since his youth. Joshua just knew how to serve. He has a life from a young one, just serving. And so the question is, who are you serving? Because the Bible says, Jesus said, I came to serve. And then he's told his disciples, you too should serve. And if we're going to follow in his footsteps, we need to serve. So who are you serving? I'm serving, you know, I'm just kind of sort of serving. Well, you're serving when you actually know who you're serving. Joshua was Moses' servant. Otherwise, you kind of choose, pick and choose, like, I like this guy today, so I'm going to serve them. And then I'm going to pick and choose that guy. Well, then you're not really serving them. You're kind of just doing what you want. But God will call you to serve. For some of you, it'll be a person. For some of you, it'll be a people. But all of us are called to lay down our lives in service. Joshua, Moses' assistant, since his youth. Scripture goes on, Joshua says, but if you refuse to serve the Lord, that's really where it all begins. It begins with serving the Lord and then letting him direct you who to serve. Then choose today whom you will serve. Would you prefer the gods your ancestors served beyond the Euphrates, or will it be the gods of the Amorites in whose land you now live? But as for me and my family, we will serve the Lord. So you choose who you want to serve. And I love that it's not just him. But he says, my legacy is that those who follow after me are going to serve. I'm going to serve in such a way that others will be inspired to serve as well. So they served, and then they loved God's presence. Inside the tent of meeting, the Lord would speak to Moses face to face as one speaks to a friend. Afterward, Moses would return to the camp, but the young man who assisted him, Joshua, son of Nun, would remain behind in the tents of meeting. And the tent of meeting was where they would come together to meet with God. And Moses would just talk to God face to face. And Joshua would be there with him in those face-to-face moments. But I love how the Bible says when Moses would be done and walk away, go back, Joshua would stay because he loved the presence of God. And so you and I, serving and loving the presence of God is how we begin to have the heart of a champion. Jesus said this, you want to be great in the kingdom? You want to be a champion? You want to rise above all the others? Then be the servant of all. See, servanthood is key to greatness. So different from the way the world thinks, right? The way of the kingdom is so upside down compared to the way that the world thinks. We would never think we become a champion by serving. And yet great teams, that is always one of the keys, is that they learn to serve each other. And they will hold themselves back in order for the rest of the team to shine. They'll become the person that the rest of the team needs. And a great team is a group of folks who come together and say, I'm going to do my best to make this team shine. Everything I have, all that I do is going to be given towards seeing others and seeing this team rise up. That's servanthood. Do you give your life to see others come to Christ, be raised up? Do you love to spend time in God's presence? Because see, it's when we spend time in God's presence, in our like our quiet time and in church services, that's what begins to develop the habit of seeing God. And then when the trials and the giants start to rise up in our face, we see God is bigger than the giant. But if we're not used to spending time in God's presence and seeing God in our quiet time and in our personal times, if we can't see God in the good times, you're going to really struggle to see God when the trials start coming up. But those trials, if you can't see God in those problem times and in the trial times, you'll never grab a hold of the promises God has for you. So I encourage you, learn to see God. Learn to hear God's voice. That's why we say, read your Bible and pray every day. Because that's the key to beginning to see God. When you can see Him in the Scriptures, then you begin to see Him in life. And so we don't read the Scriptures just to get information. We don't read the Scriptures just to do our religious duty. We read the Scriptures so that we can see God. God, where are you? Show yourself to me in the Scriptures. Lord, let me hear your voice when I pray. Because as you learn to hear God's voice in your prayer times and see Him in the Scriptures, then you're going to see Him when the giants rise up. And you're going to hear His voice when you're facing the walled cities. And that's when the walls will start to come down. And you'll start to defeat the giants. Our prayer for you today is that this week you would encounter God in the Scriptures. You would encounter Him in prayer. Then God would become so big in your life. You would magnify and exalt Him so much in your life that when the giants come, the problems come, conflict, anger, offense, insecurity, fear. When those things come into our lives, you'll see Jesus as bigger than the giants, bigger than the walled cities. And then you'll then begin to experience what it's like to lay a hold of the promises in spite of the problems. I pray for you. Father, I just pray a blessing now upon each one here, that as we leave, Lord God, this would be a week when we would encounter you, Lord God, and see your hand at work in our lives, tearing down walls, killing giants, and Lord God, helping us stepping into our promises. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for listening. We pray this message spoke to you and built your faith. For more messages like this, visit our website at everynationtaipei.com. You can also send a prayer request and reach out to us anytime. God bless you. Till next time.